Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Talk Openly. We're starting a little late because for various reasons, but also we're trying the new kind of like partially in-person audience thing, which is exciting. But yeah, working out some of the kinks, so bear with us as we do. And it looks like we're also not on Facebook, which is kind of a bummer, but hey, technology really likes to give us a spin, and it's excellent that we get to work with that.
Yeah, definitely. Like you were saying at the before we got started with the show, it brings up a wide variety of emotions, and it's good to sort of check in with that.
Yeah, for sure.
If it isn't people, it's technology that'll get us there, right?
Right? Yeah, it's so funny. Like, it's I'm such a good Buddhist when things aren't going awry.
Right.
And then I'm just like, yeah, interdependence, like impermanence. I can totally see the leaves changing and like that's all good stuff, right? You know, but then shit hits the fan and I'm like, I want to beat people up and I'm uncomfortable, I'm cold, you know, like all
Exactly.
and then I just want it all to go away.
That's the good,
Doesn't it?
that's the good stuff we get to work with.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, what's some of your good stuff you're working with? What's going on with you?
Well, relatively inconsistent personal practice is what's going on with my meditation. But it's stabilizing. It's getting I was waking up super, super early to do it for a while. Proved that I could do it, right? But then it started impacting the rest of my life and was like in a negative way. And I was like, all right, not too high, not too low, right? Trying to find that middle
Yeah.
ground.
How was it that like you just were too tired in the day?
Exactly. So because I was thinking, well, I can do it all, right? I can wake
Yeah.
up at, 3:30 in the morning. I can do my practices, and then I can go to the gym with my daughter, and then I can walk the dogs, and then all that, and then I can start my day. And then what would happen is, like, around 11 o'clock or so, I'd start like crashing.
Yeah.
I'd be like, either I'd be tempted to like take a nap or just try to like push through. And then, of course, my mind would get dull, and I'm getting irritable, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And again, good stuff to work with, but also unnecessary. I can make time, I can make it work, but that transition from one schedule to another is always a little bit iffy. But it was good. Got some really good advice from our friend Sue Forster. I was complaining about this particular situation, and she said, well, even if you're not going to do a formal seated meditation or tantric practices or any of that, even just to help yourself, just do some breathing exercises, right? Like, not even as a meditation, just some breathing exercises, because it'll help to calm your nervous system. And she taught me some breathing techniques that I implemented and I found really helpful, but they also led to me just being like, okay, I can meditate
Yeah,
now.
totally.
Yes.
She has a lot of those little tricky tips, doesn't she?
She
Where she's like,
does.
just like sit on the cushion for 3 minutes, and then you're like, well, I might as well sit here
That's
for like 15 or something, you know? Or like, yeah, just practice some breathing exercises. And then it's like, well, I'm already here, so
right.
I'm like,
What's the difference, really? Okay, let me
yeah.
do this thing. But it's all it's that part, I think, is I think I think fine. I'm finding a new rhythm, new groove, and that's good. And I'm practicing something kind of cool that Lama mentioned. I think it may have been at the refuge ceremony recently, but I'm not positive. But he mentioned just sort of casually about that when we're visualizing, we're doing some type of visualization, that it's important not to use not to be trying to use the brain to do that, not to be in the head trying to visualize, but to visualize from the heart.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember when he said it, it was at the refuge practice, because I was like, or at the refuge sermon, because I was like, man, this sounds kind of silly. Like, there was a part of me that sort of discounted, but then I thought, well, actually, this is a great time. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna use it right now. And I remember being sort of like, whoa, oh my God, that's different. And so now if I'm doing any type of visualization practice, including Tonglen, I'm taking that advice to heart. And it's actually really, really effective. effective. So I'm so like I'm like tickled pink to take something. Like it's just a little thing he said, and
Yeah.
the practice turned out to be super helpful.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's something that I've really been recognizing in my meditations lately, is just how much my my visual consciousness becomes so central. Like, I think that that is what I'm doing all of this with. It's like my
Right.
vision, you know? And so, like, definitely when I'm doing a visualization of a Buddha, it really does feel like it's coming from, like, I'm seeing it like out here. And I heard that advice about bringing it down into the heart, and then I was just thinking, well, what would it be like to have eyes at the heart? And so it was still like from the visual consciousness, and I feel like it, that's not quite it, right? Like there's something that's more about like a heart centered, like a heart set versus, you know, like a mindset. And
Well, it's still vision is still visualization, right?
yeah, it's like
Yeah.
it's right. There's like feeling to it too. There's emotion. There's it's less heady. It's you know,
Not so tight.
calm.
It's not. It's I. What that's what the that's the part that I'm finding so makes me so happy is that. So I have a really hard time with using my vision, right? To like I can't quite get it to be clear, right? I can't get it to be vivid or consistent. And so when I did this, all of a sudden it wasn't so tight, right? It was much looser, much softer. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, now that now I'm like that's actually working. Like I'm, now it's vivid, now, you know, now it's consistent,
Ah,
and it feels quite different. Yeah, it's not such a tight, not so bound up mentally.
cool. Well, I'm gonna have to return to that because I kind of like I tried it once and I was like, meh, it's not for me.
Yeah, give it another shot and report back.
Will, yeah. I'm gonna try that tonight with
Okay.
my shamatha. Yeah, I
Good.
promise.
Yeah, talk to me. Tell me about you.
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't know. I'm feeling the afflictions today. I'm just like I'm really like peak, not peak afflictions, but just like they're rolling through.
Aklesha attack.
Yeah, Klesha attack. Yeah. Like I was feeling really pissed off earlier. 'Cause so my partner had been offered a job a couple weeks ago at the place where he's interning, and today they rescinded their offer
Ooh.
and didn't give like a great explanation why. And so I just watched like my mind like do this whole thing of like trying to figure out like what was going on, what could be the reasons. And so like went down some rabbit holes of like, you know, is it because he has like a criminal history? Is there some like bias there? Like, you know, even though he's got like his fingerprints and background check and all the stuff clear, right? He can work with people. It's like there's still some discrimination around that. And but anyways, I just like was watching my mind kind of go into that really pissed off and like hurt place. And it's still kind of there, to be honest, you
Yeah.
know. But I think it's very much related to our, you know, what we're going to be talking about
For
later
sure.
tonight, right? Where it's like, you know, not boxing people in, which so it's interesting to see like how when something doesn't go right and it's like another person's like fault that it didn't go right, I'm automatically kind of I've made them into a character. So it's good that we're talking about this tonight. But yeah, and then on the other hand, I'm like super like activated and excited that like Beyonce came out with two new songs and they're country, and it's just like
Beyonce has country songs.
she's putting out a country album at the end of March, and I'm just like, oh, amazing. And I'm already like so addicted to these two new songs and just been listening to it nonstop, like it's so weird. Like my mind has like such a strong attachment energy towards Beyonce. Like I don't understand it 100% because I don't have that for like other things in my life. Like maybe when I was in middle school, I was like obsessed with Lord of the Rings, but I don't have those kinds of like fandom issues anymore, except for
Yeah.
Beyonce. And so yeah, I've been like watching my mind today, just like kind of just like go all over the place. So it's been, a mix. It's been fine. My training is interesting. I've also been a little bit struggling with my schedule. I just like cannot break through, and I know I like have a lot of like bias for myself around like when I should be doing something, and so if I can't wake up in time to do my meditation, I feel kind of bad about it, I do always get it done later in the day. But yeah, my body is just like really resisting waking up before six.
I've been, it's interesting. I think that it might be sort of seasonal too.
Yeah,
You know,
I
that
think so
there's
too.
something to it. I've heard it from a number of people that waking up is harder right now than it has been.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Yeah, we are, we should be sleeping more. That's what our bodies are, designed to do
We got
right
stuff
now.
to do. We got a lot of things on the to-do list.
Yeah, I know. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, it
I wish it
does.
was different,
Yeah.
but it's not. This is how
This is how it is.
it is right now. So yeah, just been kind of balancing. I'm officially halfway through my academic year, so I'm now on the downslope of that. So that feels good.
Nice.
But yeah, mix of everything.
Yeah, there we go. You're living life.
Living life. How's the audience doing? How are y'all's life? Maybe we could spin the camera. I want to see who's here.
I think they're asleep. Here we go.
No. Hey.
We have Bill here in the audience.
Yay.
Are you sleeping, Bill? He's meditating.
He's
He's meditating.
meditating. That's good.
We were so the whole point when we were trying to set up the TV so that he could see what I see here, right? But
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
So, but then it didn't quite work out because it started playing movies or advertisements or something.
Got it.
Yeah, it worked for a good 30 seconds or so.
Right on.
Yeah, we'll get it all worked
We'll get it working, and we'll
out.
get more people in there.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm really grateful, actually. I in the past when before Bill was encouraging us to do it live, I would just show up sort of like a little bit before the show was set to begin and then just jump right in. But now I get to actually meditate, and be part of a group meditation and listen to a reading, which is really, really helpful. Kind of like calms, like a lot of times I come in, I'm sort of like high energy and kind of scatter. I'm like, ah, like the day,
Yeah.
like I'm just fresh out of the day and it's hard to sort of transition in. But what I notice is that by coming in, being part of the group, having some discussion, having some good food for thought, having some time to just sit and breathe and be still. I think it's really helpful.
Yeah. Always, yeah, being with people, sharing with Sangha, that will always help ground out. I'm sure by the end of this hour, my edge will be a little bit softer. So thank you, Daniel, for helping me with that.
Of course, of course. My pleasure. My pleasure. Maybe what might help too is a little bit of mind training.
Yeah.
Lojong.
Let's check it out.
Are you down?
I'm down. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Let's do it. So here we go. Can you see my screen?
I can see your screen.
All right. On the Lion's Roar dharmacenter.org website, where we're going to hit the random Lojong slogan generator. And here we go.
Okay, number 47. I feel like this is somewhat familiar with me. It says, make the three inseparable. And Choyum Trungpa says, your practice of Lojong should be wholehearted and complete. In body, speech, and mind, you should be inseparable from Lojong. Wonderful.
I think this ties into what we're talking about, right? About the topic for tonight, it does directly relate to our body, the behavior, right? That's exhibited through the body, speech, and mind, and that if we can watch ourselves mindfully, then we can guide those in a direction that's beneficial to ourselves and others.
Yeah. Well, and it's really clear that those things are not, acting separately from one another, right? Our speech, I know for myself, when I'm feeling very activated and energetic, physically, that can affect the things that I say. Maybe I'm a little bit more like kind of loose with what I share, right? Like when I'm not super connected with my body and I'm just kind of like,
Oh,
highly caffeinated or something. I might be a little bit just like sharper with others. And then of course how that affects our mind and then how those things weave together. I really appreciate how we have all these different practices to that kind of target those three. And yeah, it's just a pacifying. I think that's the word that I come up to often is that it's like helping us pacify those afflictions of those three areas.
true, true.
All go together.
There's a nice portrait on the screen of two llamas. It's an old Tanka from the 1300. And I was just curious, do you think that these two llamas, do you think they're looking at each other with judgment? Or do you think that they're, you know what I mean? Like, do you think in their mind,
Why? Why? Wait, why judgment? Do you
you
see
know,
something there?
no, because of the
Okay.
topic. Night, right? Like,
Oh.
do you think that there does it look like they're sitting there, like in their mind, they're like, I'm better than him, or you know, does there, it doesn't seem like,
It doesn't seem like that. People are
no,
good at hiding their stuff.
right?
So, maybe.
I
But
like that
imagine.
even though there's clearly two llamas, they don't seem actually all that distinct, right? There's some sense
Yeah.
of commingling between there, anyway.
Yeah. It's
That's
lovely.
enough of my blather about that. I don't have much else to say. It is actually a pretty simple Lojong slogan, right? Like it's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot to go for me to say past that.
For sure. Yeah, and I like Lojong as a practice is so great as kind of like a devotional. Like I don't know, people who grew up Christian or might recognize that word. So my mom had these little books, right, that would have she would read one kind of passage every day, and it was about some kind of Christian
Oh yeah.
foundational topic, and usually there'd be a little bit of commentary on a Bible passage or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like the random Lojong slogan generator could really be that. I should practice what I preach. I don't do Lojong every day. I would like to return to that, but yeah.
I bookmarked it. It's on my, like, at the top of my browser, and because I work with my computer, it's always there. So I get to first thing in the morning, right when I fire things up, I'm like, click, and just check it out. It's helpful. I like what you said. I was curious how you were going to say that it was devotional. When you say, when you use that word, I appreciate the explanation, because I grew up with similar things where it was like daily scriptures with some type of, exposition about the topic.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. It's quite similar. Cool.
Yeah. Well, and that word really kind of puts a special meaning to that practice of like a daily, it's a commitment, we're devoting ourselves to return to the topics, which is really important. We have to just constantly s steep our minds in it over and over. Otherwise, I lose it for
Yeah,
sure.
for sure. The other thing about it doesn't have to be random. I was talking to a Sangha member on Sunday who said that they use them, they look for the slogan that's applicable to whatever's going on with them at any given moment. And so they were saying how every time they go looking, they find, one slogan that's helpful for them to meditate on and to sort of contemplate, that's, that helps with whatever particular issue might be arriving.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But I
There's
like the
so much in the Lojong scriptures. Check them out. And Lam Rim. Yeah. If you're interested in going really deep, I super recommend Thupten Chodron's book and guided meditations on the Lam Rim. So it's like the Path of Awakening, and it starts out with kind of like beginner level meditations to intermediate and advanced. And she's just, she's so skilled in her knowledge and the way that she shares things, and for a Western audience too. So I highly recommend checking that out, because she really just, yeah, makes it easy to understand.
Thank you for that, Jack.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, are we ready?
I think so. Do you want to introduce
Okay.
the topic?
Sorry, say it again.
Would you like to introduce the topic?
I sure would. Yeah. So tonight we thought we'd talk a little bit about how the Dharma can help us be a little bit more open to people, curious about people, rather than what so often happens for me, which is that I meet someone and within seconds, I already have, basically a definition of who they are. Like
I
I've
think you said seconds. I think it might be milliseconds.
milliseconds. Yes, and just passing people by on the street, we have their st we have a story in
You
mind
already
of
know. You know
who
who
they
they are.
are. It's amazing how that happens. Yeah. Which, like, I know that there's some biological kind of thing that's happening there, right? Where the mind is, receiving so much information at all times that it's trying to just like simplify things. And so that's like a evolutionary thing that's happened, is that, we automatically just kind of like decide that's what that person is, that's who that person is. And of course, what so often happens with that is that our brain uses shortcuts that then cause us to have bias towards people.
Absolutely.
And it's totally natural. But it also, yeah, it means that we're not going to see people. So important topic, huge topic. I don't
Yeah,
think we're going to get to everything tonight.
no, we won't, but it's an easy one too. I think that it's so right? Like, the closer that phenomena are to our everyday experience, the more sort of it stands out. So people are incredibly easy to work with because they're persistent, they're everywhere, and they're such an important part of our interconnected life, right? That it and we can't help but be triggered, right? We can't help but find, that we are judging, that we're finding some people good, other people bad, and then we're ignoring a whole bunch of people, right? And yeah, absolutely. So it's absolutely, it's rich for practice. There's no doubt. I think we probably can share a lot of stories too.
Yeah, most
Can
certainly.
I tell you one?
Please.
This is talk openly. This just happened about an hour and a half ago, maybe 2 hours ago.
Great.
Okay. So people in traffic, right? Like car driving cars, right? Like this is like the best place to practice, I think. It's really fun. So I was driving back home before coming to the dojo here, and I was kind of concerned. I was worried that I wasn't going to make it in time, and so I was sort of like, oh, I need to make it, I need to get there here, and then I got to go here. So I was a little bit scattered, feeling a little bit antsy, and it was like rush hour traffic, and I was on a particular street in Sacramento that is always a mess, right?
Yeah.
And people just doing all kinds of things that are easy to be upset about, right? And this person drove, sorry, I'm just gonna say this car cut me off without signaling or anything. And literally in milliseconds, I didn't see the person. I did not see the person. I saw the freaking license plate. And the license plate said Virginia. Virginia is for lovers, right? And immediately I knew who that person was. I had whole story about why they were the way they were, and I was like, I was wishing them ill, right? I didn't I had
Right.
never I didn't even see them, right? Like, and this is all based upon the fact that I had differentiated. I had immediately, I was angry, you know, for whatever reason, and I had immediately looked for something to grab onto, and I couldn't even see the person, right? If they're having a Dodge Ram 4x4, I would have known what the cause was, right? But no, they're just in a normal car, right? And but so I had to latch onto this like this license plate that said Virginia, Virginia for lovers, and I was so just like, oh man, the stuff coming out of my mouth, and then you know a little, and then they did something else, and I was like, oh, and then I got to see them, right? And then so now I saw this person, and I immediately I was like, oh my God, Daniel, you are the like you're a jerk, right? I am a like I'm a sexist, racist, statist, I guess, you know what.
Right.
And it was all there, and I could like see it. Oh, I was just like, oh my God, this is terrible, right? Like, I
Yeah.
go and talk to Jack about being curious and open and you know being seeing people clearly as they are and having compassion and loving kindness and all of that, when you know here I am being triggered by a stupid license plate and some very mild physical differences between me and another person, right? It's
Right.
crazy.
It is crazy. And how quickly did you notice that it had gotten to that point? Like, has there been a time in the past where you would have just kind of kept going with it?
Oh yeah, of course. Of course. That's what yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would have kept going until it just spun itself out, right?
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
So in this case, I noticed it. So let's say it was milliseconds to note nanoseconds to notice the Virginia license plate. And then the story arose within seconds, and then whatever, all of this stuff transpired very, very quickly. And then I'd say that me noticing what a jerk I was probably took about maybe like a good 60, 70 seconds, something like that. You know, it was a
That's
decent.
pretty
Yeah, you know, I got to linger in that space for a while, and then, you know, it felt like a long time, but then I was like, oh, wait, dude, catch yourself, right? And that's, I think, you know, I think that's actually it, is that our minds are incredibly judgmental, right? And full of bias. And that's why it's so ripe for practice. That's why being able to watch it and see what it's doing and not sort, you know, like taming it, being like, hey, whoa. That is not a beneficial state. This is not going to lead to good karma, so to speak, right? Yeah.
And I appreciate you sharing like that there's we can't have this expectation as we're still pretty much beginners in our practice that we're that we should just like have it figured out already, that we should just like love everybody. And like never get mad when people cut us off or all the things, and that's just not realistic. And but we can do this kind of like harm reduction approach, which is that we're learning to recognize, we're learning to recognize these afflictions and just catch it and say like, actually, I kind of, I disagree with
Yeah,
that
exactly.
assessment.
I think that I, you know, given the fact that our minds already are going to be doing this labeling and categorizing, it's doing it, and that's what it's built to do in many ways. I think that the standpoint that I feel like I'm kind of coming from is that what I really want to go from is this judgmental awareness where it's labeling good, bad, neutral, and moving towards more of a discriminating awareness where, you know, yes, I'm aware of the differences, but it's not going any further than that, right? And it's not, and that I don't want it to be a reactive thing either. I can see my mind. I can see, for example, my sexist, racist, misogynistic, whatever it is. You know, I can see that conditioning. I can see the way that those thought patterns show up. And I can hold that too. I can recognize that without judgment too. Just be like, yeah, yep, I see that. That if I act on that, that's going to cause harm to self and other. That's not what I'm trying to do. And that's the training, right? Yeah.
No, it's pretty amazing. Just the ability to catch it, to see it, observe. I've been reflecting on how pissed off I got when I learned about that today, with my partner. And where, yeah, I just kind of this automatic feeling of like, I know what this is. Like, we've been here before, and I know this because, like, I've met like yuppie, like Port Townsend people before, and and that's the reason why they don't want him there is because he has a criminal history. And like, the other thing I could do is just take the information at face value, which is the reason they gave, which is that they had to focus on hiring a physical therapist and not a physical therapy aide. So yeah, it's just so wild, like the categories that come to mind, where it's like I know who this person is automatically, and I haven't even seen their face. So no, even then, like I'm imagining who this person is, right? So I haven't even seen them, like you were saying about the person in the car.
You know,
But I know them very well.
put them in a nice little box, and you're right about what's in that box.
Right. Yeah. And it hurts. Their box hurts me. Their box that I've created for them hurts me.
Yeah, that's it's interesting, right, that it's actually sort of the inverse, that because we're hurt, we create the box and put them in there, right? Like, because the state of mind that we're in is going to determine how we categorize and how we label or how we judge those people. So, like, if the situation, like, if your own state of mind was at peace and you were hunky dory and it wasn't that big of a deal, he actually got a better job offer somewhere else and that kind of thing, you'd be like, yeah, totally. Yeah, they got a good reason. No problem. It's all good. Those Port Townsend people, they're so educated, and they know what.
That's such a great point. I love that. You brought that up about, so it's the state of mind, really. It's the state of mind that creates the boxes or creates what we're experiencing.
Matt.
It reminds me, so my dad told me this story a couple weeks ago. I was on the phone with him. He was out on a long walk. He likes to go on these walks out kind of in the middle of nowhere. He'll drive his car out and then just like walk on kind of farm roads and stuff. And
Oh, I like him already.
he's a bizarre man. I really, yeah, I appreciate him. But he has a lot of biases and assumptions of his own that he's working through, and that I think have also not gotten worse, but just been like they've been poked at in the last few years as like kind of like the Me Too and Black Lives Matter movements have really shifted our culture and the way we talk about our position in society. And so he's an older white man and really believes that everybody hates him. Like he's hurt by that. And so I think anyone who looks like me who's not me, he believes that like they're gonna hate him. Or anyone who's black, he believes that they're gonna hate him. But anyway, so he was out walking on this country road, like in the middle of nowhere. And he saw a car coming towards him. And he said they were slowing down, and he was like, I'm not, a little bit nervous, like unsure what was going to happen. And this woman pulled over, a young black woman, and she rolled down the window and was like, hey, I'm really concerned. I saw a car back there parked on the side of the road. Like, are you okay? Like, do you need a ride? And he said he was just like so, like his heart was just like so opened by that. And he let her know, like, no, I'm just on a walk. Like, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Like, that was very kind of you. And so he just said that this like ability for this person to see past what he felt she was seeing him as, you know, but there was this human connection there, and just like a real goodness, that was able to be shared. It was really a beautiful story.
I love it because, the thing is that as we have these all these formed beliefs and judgments and whatnot, the way they get solidified over time is through this sort of confirmation bias, right? I think people don't like me or whatever, so I look for people not liking me that proves my point, and then I'm right, so we're always looking to be right. And so then it just creates this pattern that gets really worn in. And so what happened there was he wasn't able to confirm it, right? Like broke that a little bit, jumped the needle out of the rut, so to speak, right? Like, heck, what a beautiful experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you get to come to the Sunday talk this last Sunday?
With Jen,
Jen Sparks.
I saw like half of it.
Yeah, there was a at one point she was talking about something that I thought was directly relevant here, which was this notion that, about how the same person is viewed so differently by various people, right? So, like, we have our view of a person, and that's so completely different than the way that other people view them. So, that nope, even though everybody knows that they know them, right? They have that knowing that they put them in a box or whatever. And yet, that person isn't many of those things, or perhaps it's up to some degree of all of them, who knows? And I couldn't help but laugh because I had had this conversation with our friend Sue the other day. We were just chatting on the phone, and I said how much I really enjoy this show, doing the show with you, and how much I really, appreciate our friendship, and how much I value you. And I said, and it's like, yeah, do you remember when Jack first showed up at the beginner's meditation? And this led to a really interesting discussion between the two of us because Sue went first. And Sue said, "Oh, yes, I do remember when Jack first showed up. Jack was so, they seemed so kind of shy and not very some I'm making up the words here, but something shy and maybe a little bit unsure of themselves, right?" And I, of course, I think I've shared with you my own experience of that fateful day in which you were a confident, assertive, high energy person who showed up, right? And how amazing was it, right? Like, you were neither of those things, or you were all of it, or you were something. You were just Jack. You were just whatever happened to be. And yet, here in the exact same moment, Sue, coming from whatever place she was in, saw you in a particular light as this sort of like shy, somewhat subdued person. And I saw something that was quite the opposite, right? That was a confident, strong, high energy sort of person. And I just thought that was so interesting, right?
That
Like,
is so
reflecting on that.
interesting. That, yeah, every single person will have a different perspective on someone. And you know what I was feeling in that moment was kind of a little bit of a mix of both of those things, where I was feeling maybe the shy part was that I was feeling a little bit like out of place, and the confident part was actually a little bit confrontational, because
Remember that.
a lot of times when I feel like I'm not sure how people are going to receive me or if they're going to accept me, I just automatically kind of come out and be like, what? You want to press me on it? You know, like I'm here, you know, which I love about queer people, right? And other people with marginalized identities is that like sometimes we have to just be like, I'm here, you know, like I'm going to take up space and you're not going to fuck with me about it. And you're not going to like, you know, say that I can't be myself, you know? So, but what that does for me is that oftentimes I have to like kind of pull it back a little bit and be like, oh, here's me actually, you know, like here's who I actually am, you know, instead of this like, yeah, feeling like I've got to prove myself, like kind of a little bit
Right.
feisty.
Yeah. Well, I think I love it because it goes to show that all of this sort of knowingness of other people is just wrong, and that it's It cannot help but be projection. It's a mirror of something going on with us, right?
Exactly.
We, like the way that we see people, we see them good. Like I spend when I'm at the gym on the treadmill or whatever, I'm watching all these people and forming. I can see my mind doing it constantly, right? Just based on nothing more than like their age and gender and their form, how fit they are or whatever. And how, oh my God, the people who are popular and friendly and social, my mind is automatically doing something with them. The attractive women, my mind's doing something else with them. The, whatever, there's all this stuff that's going on in there and none of it is true, right?
Yes.
So I don't, I have this other, I want to share one more little story. So at the gym, there was this guy, I may have mentioned him in the past, that I had some type of, like right away, some kind of a negative judgment. Really, like seriously strong negative judgment. And I never talked to this guy, nothing. And it stayed for, it was week after week. And I noticed I was like, man, this is problematic. Like it's not, I'm not acting with my, I'm just still in my mind. I'm not, my speech and my body have not yet, gotten engaged here. But I don't like this because I know it's not true, right? I know that, that whatever I'm doing, it's just a projection of myself. So, instead of sort of allowing that thing, that story to build, I went up and introduced myself and talked to him. And now multiple times we've engaged with each other. And what it's exactly the same thing as like what happened with you and me and with everybody else. The more you spend times you spend with somebody, the better you get to know them, you see them a little bit clearer, and you can appreciate their finer, better qualities. And it turned out whatever it was thinking about this guy was none of that was true.
That's great that like you actively decided to break through that
You
resistance.
have to, right? So I mean, I think that so there's a passive sort of awareness of like, oh, look at my mind, it's doing all these things. And then there's, habitual reactivity that comes oftentimes from that. But there is a role, I think, for being proactive in that area too. Right. So like you're talking about marginalized identities. It's oftentimes a case as like as a privileged white man that there's a sense of that people owe it to me to teach me somehow about their whatever culture or their whatever, their gender stuff. It does, instead of me being actively curious, me being actively engaged, right? And asking questions and being more informed myself, somehow I assume it's your job to teach me about who you are. That's not true either. You're just you, right? You're just a neutral phenomenon, so to speak. And it behooves me that if I want to change my mind, the way that I relate to people, that I have to be proactive and have to engage, and that comes with curiosity. You can't have curiosity if you already know what somebody or something is.
Totally. Yeah, I really appreciate this discussion because I have a hard time with curiosity. In general, I think. But when it comes to people, sometimes I'm really in here. I can really isolate myself, which is interesting because I work with people all day. So it's like when I'm in my professional role, I can do that. I'm really like good at like getting to learn about people. But when it comes to time that I have to myself, and maybe like, where, oh, I could have, lunch or a break with a coworker, I really am like hesitant to do that. And part of that is like, I'm scared to get to know people. And I also sometimes fear like actually sharing myself. And I don't know if that's anything that you've ever experienced. I feel like you're such a social and like engaging person, that I really have a lot to learn from you.
Oh my gosh, but again, that's just a
That's a
that's
that's a
not my,
positive
that's not my own
behavior.
story of myself, right?
Totally.
That somehow, yeah, okay, I know how to be social and whatnot. That there is a the same like what you were saying about how you choose not to engage in some cases. That resonated with me. I feel the same way where I'm like, I'd rather not. And I think, in my mind, I sometimes put I might label it as, well, I just want my time for myself. I just want to be me and not have to talk to other people or engage with other people. But I think actually what I'm discovering is underneath a lot of the narratives that guide my life, I noticed that the narratives are powerful and they've been there a long time, and they feel empowering in many cases. Like, oh no, I'm good. I don't need other people right now, and I just want to be by myself, right? Because I like me and I like my time alone. But that actually underneath the narrative, there's oftentimes something a little bit darker and maybe a little bit, I don't know, maybe sad or like, I don't know, like a fear of rejection, not like not being good enough. There's that kind of stuff that's underneath it. But in order to protect myself from that, that feels yucky. That hurts or whatever. There's this sort of narrative about how I am and how I relate to other people that sort of is like it's like a buffer, right? But and that narrative has been, you know, there's many of them, but they've been guiding and, you know, moving me through life. And like I said, I think there's been a strong identification with it, when in fact, you know, it would be better for me to let go of some of that and in fact push the other direction, right? So whatever, you know, like whatever that habitual tendency is, to be aware of the habitual tendency and then proactively push against it, you know, and do what's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and so that means that, not only do we would it be, wise for us to be curious about other people, but also to be curious and open to ourselves, and the, various changes and things that are happening within our own minds and experience, being open to that changing. But it's like, huh, maybe this narrative I have about myself is not actually what's happening when I really look at it.
Yeah.
How fascinating. Yeah.
Right. Mate, that's exactly it, Jack. I mean, isn't that really what we're doing in our meditation practice? Isn't it seeing ourselves, like actually seeing ourselves? You know, and when we do that allows for this transformation. And that transformation can't happen if we're a solid, known self.
Right. Yeah, there would be no liberation
How could there?
if there was a solid self, a solid me that was like kind of the loner, the loner who that was
Steppenwolf,
my
come on,
identity.
a
Yeah.
powerful Steppenwolf.
Bill liked that one. Yeah, how amazing. Yeah, that we get to change and that other people get to change. It's quite beautiful.
All those stories that we've made up about ourselves and about other people, they're just stories,
Yeah.
right? And sometimes they're helpful, and sometimes they're, you know, positive and all of that, but there's not truth in them, not in any real way, and certainly not in a lasting way, right? How can something that is dynamic and ever changing, right, and not solid, how can a process like that ever be known fully, right? It can't be. It can simply be experienced in the moment. And imagine, I mean, like, think about it. We are these dynamic processes. I am, you are, right? And so, sure, there's like regular repeating patterns and stuff like that. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But the me that knows you is not the same me ever, right? It's like, well, with Heraclitus, I think it was, it said, the same man never steps into the same river twice, right? Same man can't step into the same river twice because they're both dynamic processes, right?
For
So,
sure.
we gotta let go of that, the solidity. It's so
Yeah.
hard, it's persistent.
I'm thinking about what as you're speaking, I'm thinking about how I feel like my younger self really got interested in like kind of anarchism and Buddhism because like I was seeing that I was becoming something, right? That I was like, that the world was making me into something and I was becoming that and I wasn't that. And it was like, no, I don't, I that's not me. I want nothing to do with that. And so there's a little bit of yeah, this rejection of labels that I think can really, really open us to Dharma, but I think can also get in the way a little bit sometimes. Like it can become another label, right? Where it's like, I'm an anti-authoritarian. I'm anti-label. You know, I'm and what I love about Dharma is it's this, you know, practical application of, you know, these impermanence and dynamism. Because otherwise I can get a little bit obsessed about, well, then like I'm just not going to do what this world wants me to do, kind of vibe too. And that's not practical.
No,
I have to be practical as well, so.
well, I'm glad that you brought the practical aspect of it up, because the it's been sort of a rub for me recently that on the one hand, like I'm like, oh man, I get these, I understand emptiness, I understand interconnected, I get it, I get it, I do up here, I totally get it, right? And if I understand that, I got the basics, I understand the Four Noble Truths, and I try to live a good life, and I meditate, that's good enough, isn't it? Right? That should be it. But then there's this sort of this rub where I'm like, no, actually there is this application that requires this consistent, disciplined approach, right? And it requires this mindful, intentional, mindful component where we're watching ourselves, and it's like this grand experiment where we're curious about ourselves and watching ourselves, and we're allowing ourselves to be whatever it is that we are, right? And kind of guiding that. And that's hard. And I'm sort of regretting all of this. I'm like, dang, what did I get myself into?
I know. Yeah, it's some effort. It certainly is.
I know, I gave a talk on effort recently, and it's still
I take
and I'm
it back. I take it
back, please. Can I go back into the matrix, please?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. What is it? Yeah, not the red pill.
Whichever pill, I don't
Whichever one it was.
take them all away, I don't
Yeah.
care. There is sometimes that feeling, but then I am joking. I am totally joking.
I know.
There is this, you know, there's a deep when I do apply, when I do find that actually Dharma is not something that I do at the temple. It's not something that's happening when I'm reading a book, right? It's not meditation. It is living. It is life. It is always, right? There's never sort of like, this is Dharma, this is not Dharma, right? Like,
Hey.
it doesn't let up. And
Doesn't let him know.
no, and that's good news. It's beautiful, but like sometimes it doesn't show up in a way that I can appreciate in the moment.
Yeah.
You're right, because I don't like sometimes seeing what I see. Right,
I
like,
know.
you know, like if my eyes get sort of peeled up open and the hand moves away, or I can see a little bit more clearly, and I'm like, oof,
Yeah.
ooh, I
That's
didn't
sore. That's still a little sore. Yeah.
bring that up for a good reason.
Right. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, how magnificent that we get to look. And rather than keeping ourselves in our own little boxes for ourselves.
We get to look, and the cool thing is that because we have Sangha, we have other people who can also show us in a way that is ease safer, I think, than other people, right? They're a special group of people
Yeah.
that, you know, like, yes, there's still challenges, there's still interpersonal conflict, and there's all misunderstandings and judgment and all of that stuff. But given our shared connection, right, and what it is that we're trying to do here, and our commitment, I think that it provides a much safer place for us to have people mirror us, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. Yeah, and sometimes that mirror is a little uncomfortable. Certainly. But I think that's one reason why Lama has asked us to do this show, right? Is that we can be a little bit transparent and have that. I don't know, sometimes I feel a little bit raw after our conversations, right? Where it's like, oh man, there's a lot that we're working on. And I'm, yeah, just very grateful that we can talk about it. So thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Jack. I really appreciate it. I feel the same way. It is a transformative process, this engagement, right? This back and forth.
Yeah.
I love it. I learning something, both learnings, in terms of sort of philosophical or teachings, right? There's that aspect of it. There's also this mirror that's happening. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I can't believe it. It's already 8 o'clock. Really good to be back. We didn't even get to talk about the soccer game that you
Oh yeah,
last week.
we. Oh my God.
Did you won?
Oh yeah,
Oh, good. Okay.
was the
Sweet.
last soccer game for my daughter, and they won. I say we.
Yes.
We're all connected. I won that game single-handed.
You won that game. That's right. That's right. Well, good. I'm so glad that we got to talk this week, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to broadcast on Facebook too.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We'll look into it. Thanks, Jack. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Toodaloo.
See
Bill
ya.
says bye.
Bye.